Blog Talk Radio.
I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight, we are bringing you a message titled, Praying for the Impossible. It's from a live church service from the Pentecostals of Alexandria, Bishop Anthony Magin. This is the second week we have felt led to bring you a show based on prayer. Wild Bill states, all of the time that he asks God first, forgive him and for unbelief. Then he asked God to add to his faith. It is so easy to get to the routine of doing God things, but we get away from applying these things in the power of faith and expectation. The key is, if you don't see your answer, then you don't stop praying. Be like the woman who was worried, the evil king, until he gave to her request to shut her up. The key is that we are not going to worry God into giving to us by praying without ceasing. Instead, the point to his story is to keep on being faithful in your prayers. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. In doing this, the process helps you grow in your relationship with God. Have you ever seen a kid that had gotten everything they asked for? Many of them were ruined for life when it came time for them to take care of themselves. They got so stinking bad that even their mom couldn't stand to be with them anymore. As God gives to us according to his process, his purpose, you will find that the thought process will change in your process to remold all of us to fix us from where the curse of sin has damaged us. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Are you willing to allow God to change us into something useful for the kingdom? Are we willing to allow God to order our steps? Are we willing to take God at his word in a living personal relationship with him? If you answer yes, then know that God wants to allow miracles, signs, and wonders to work in your life, in your church, in your family. And now, let's have a listen.
Thanks for his goodness and for his mighty eyes. For the things that he has done, for the mighty acts of God. The anointing, let me have your attention now just a moment. The anointing that's on this church is this tremendous anointing that in my 72 years of being here that I've seen. This is a powerful anointing, service after service after service. Whatever you need this morning, we're going to get it in the name of Jesus. Amen? We're going to get it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for bringing your worship with you today. Thank you for it. And those of you that did not get to hear Pastor Gentry's message Wednesday night, the only thing I want to tell you is please go home. And those of us that were here, we need to watch it again. the two roads that lead out of Dothan. And the basis of the message is one, God answers, God heals, God does. The other road that leads out, you go through everything, seems like nothing gets answered, nothing, but we both end up at the same destination. And I thank God for the privilege of being able to serve God. You can go back to your seats now. Pastor, I feel like that the Lord has spoken. We'll find out here in a little bit. But I do feel that. Messiah has just been, before you're seated, give me just a moment. Messiah has been, I know you've been standing a while, but Messiah has been unreal. And there are a few tickets that are left, Messiah tickets that are left, and it's mostly a Thursday or Sunday now. But if you, those of you online, it doesn't matter where you live, if I were you, I would come see Messiah. Well, as Pastor said, we won't be doing it next year, and there's such a powerful anointing that's resting on this place. Mother, we do love you, and happy birthday. And I prayed when she turned 90 that the Lord would let her live to be 100. And when I get there, I'll pray for 10 more years. So. You great people, thank you for standing. You may be seated. I told you a few months ago, my daddy and I shared some great things up here. My daddy taught me a lot of stuff sitting on this platform. And one time it had been a service like this where we'd been standing for 35 or 40 minutes. And finally the preacher who was preaching for us that day, I think we had an evangelist, he said, you may be seated. We sat down and daddy leaned over to me. He said, that's my favorite words in Pentecost. In the book of James, it's the Lord's half-brother in the flesh. And when you look at James chapter 5, 7 through 18, it is a powerful challenge for us to pray for the impossible. Now, I want to tell you, I have two men watching this service, many more men than that, but two that I'm specifically drawn to this morning. One is Roger Allison, and the other is Brian Mosley. And both of them are watching, and both of you men, I want you to know, this church has not given up. And I don't care what it looks like. We may have a funeral tomorrow, but we believe God's going to raise you up and there's going to be healing in the name of Jesus. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it didn't rain on earth for the space of 3.5 years. One man prayed. He said, don't let it rain again, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. So he and the Lord decided they needed rain, so he prayed again, and the Bible says that the heaven gave up rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. When God's people pray earnestly, the impossible does not exist. There's only one thing that's impossible, and it is impossible for God to fail. But outside of that, there are no impossibilities. So today I'm going to give you three accounts. I'm going to condense them because of time. But these three things of when God's people pray, the impossible did not exist. For when God intervened, the seemingly most impossible, miraculous, supernatural wonders in the Bible takes place. When you study the book of Acts, of course, it's the book of action. And when you study that book, the Apostle James had already been killed and president had been established. The people like that, that Herod, the king, declared that they died. Peter is now in the third prison. He's waiting in a death cell in the inner prison. Listen, he is chained to 16 Romans. But prayer was being made without ceasing by the church of God. The Holy Ghost, Jesus' name church, was praying for Simon Peter's deliverance. Let me remind you again, Peter was in the inner prison behind three locked doors, chained to Roman soldiers, 16 of them guarding him. Let me tell you something about the devil. He is so unsure of himself that he's going to overkill. Even after the Lord had been crucified, they came and the soldiers acknowledged, said there's no need to break his legs. They had to do that to fulfill scripture, but they didn't know it at the time. They said, we're not going to break his legs because he's already dead. But yet one of those poor old Romans just had to show out and take a spear and pierce his side to make sure he's dead. But what he didn't know is he was birthing the church. For out of that side flowed water and blood, and that's the way you're born again. Jesus was then encased in over 100 pounds of spices and a grave wrappings. He was placed inside a cave or a tomb. And a massive stone, there it is there, that massive stone was rolled over the entrance. Devil's got to do everything. But he's still not done. He had bodyguards placed, we do that in Messiah, at that tomb. They were positioned outside the tomb. A Roman seal is placed on the stone, overkill, always. But on the other side of the ledger, let me explain something. No matter how impossible that situation seems, James had been killed. Peter is now in the death cell in the third one, as far back as they can put him. Don't ever forget what I'm about to say. God was still on the throne. I don't care what you're in today. God is still on the throne. Like I told you before, and I've preached it a number of times, but when that man looked at me and he said, I just don't know if we're going to make it. He said, we've lost our car. Our finances are down. We're broke, Pastor. We don't know what we're going to do. We used to serve God, and God's always set on the throne. I turned to him, and I was a little aggravated. I was half mad and half anointed. I said, look at me. He's still on the throne. It doesn't matter how broke you are. He's still on the throne. It doesn't matter if you've lost your job. He's still on the throne. And I don't know what you're going through today, but he's still on the throne. So that church just got to praying. Everybody say praying. I wish you'd just sort of let it rumble in here while I pray, while I preach this morning. Just sort of pray under your breath. Pray. The situation was impossible. No regular run-of-the-mill prayer meeting was going to change that situation. What the devil fears is desperate, fervent, praying, Holy Ghost, Jesus' name, people that know how to pray. I have come here to tell you there's nothing that God can't do, and there's nothing the devil can do that can stop your prayers. If you pray, prayer can go anywhere God can go, and prayer can do anything that God can do. Give a shout to God. Let me tell you, when we begin to intercede in unceasing basis, you see in Acts chapter 4, the place was shaken wherein they prayed. So let me shout it. We're wrestling against. We know what we're not wrestling against, but we do know what we're, he said, you're wrestling against spiritual wickedness. You're wrestling against principalities. You're wrestling against the forces of darkness that all of hell can spew out. But my message this morning is nothing, nothing, nothing replaces nor can stand against the power of a man or a woman or a child that knows how to desperately pray and seek God. If there was a message that was voted on as my mother's number one message by us, but by the whole constituency, the Apostolic Church, it would be the message that she preached on weepers and warriors, on the power of prayer and the unction of prayer. That kind of prayer is what was made for Simon Peter. And in Acts chapter 12, we don't have a screen, but it's on the black over there. He said, Acts 12:7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came unto me. And a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side. Raised him up. Third prison. Chained to 16 Roman soldiers. Saying, rise up quickly. The chains fell off of his hands. The angel said unto him, gird thyself. Bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out. And he followed him, wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. What God had done for Simon Peter, he couldn't even believe it himself. He got outside and said, this must be a vision. Read it. That's what it says. He got outside and thought it was a vision. But when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into that big iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and with the angel departed from him. The chains fell off of Simon Peter. Those 16 soldiers never woke up. And here he comes walking out. He goes through that first gate. Hello, y'all. How you doing? Good to see you. And he goes through that second gate. How you doing? Everything going good for y'all? Then he gets to that big iron gate, and it's like walking in Walmart or something. They used to have those plastic things. You step on them, and those doors just fly open. Remember those? Step up. Hell, how y'all doing? The king's here. I've arrived. The king's. And them doors just opened up for me. Nobody helped them. That's what happened when he got to that iron gate. They just flew open. And when they did, Simon Peter walked out. Free. Set free from the inner prison. Chains fell off. He was divinely led outside by the power of the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you, if that happened to one of us, the prayer meeting would be filled next week. But I'm going to tell you that prayer happened. That's the power of prayer. Your chains are coming off this morning. You're coming out of your prison this morning. I just got to say something to some of you. I've been up here a while today, and some of you haven't smiled yet. At least we should give me a nod or a Baptist amen or something now and then. I mean, good Lord, have mercy. He got out of there. Lord doesn't love Simon Peter anymore than he loves me. And whatever I'm in and whatever I'm up against, I'm coming out of it. I see Mike King sitting back there. Look, his hand's raised right now. Stood by his bride. He took a vow, and with her paralyzed, bound to a bed for months and months and months, that man of God stood by her. He never got to see the deliverance he wanted, but God gave her deliverance. And if you're in this room, I don't care what you're going through or what you're facing, God's got deliverance in this room for you. I'm not going to let you leave here frowning today. I'm not going to let you leave here with a down today. I'm not going to let you leave here discouraged today. God's going to bring you out. I got two more to go, so let's get off Simon Peter. Let's go to Hezekiah. Everybody say Hezekiah. He became king of Judah, and Judah was a nation reduced to the most pathetic idol worship, pathetic worship there was. Thinking they thought money equated with riches and pleasures, and some so do some of us. They constitute reason for being. There was greed and riches and desire for fashion, and among the women they all wanted to be fancy and rich. They had become formal in their worship. They were caught up in the things of life. And Isaiah, that statesman, that prophet, with a divine call to denounce in no uncertain terms the frivolity and the laxity and the ungodliness and the perverted ways of they were in that day and time. And Isaiah, listen to this. He predicted that they would eventually see all of this in ruin. No one heeded the warning, the masses of these times of the inevitable dangers ahead of our nation. When Sargon, the Assyrian king, he had taken Babylon, Iraq, and he was headed towards Jerusalem. That one was assassinated. So when he got assassinated, they pointed them another leader by the name of Sennacherib, who took the reins of Assyria. He demanded even a larger army. He said, we're going to take care of these Israelis. After taking Tyre and Sidon, they took them down. The Philistine cities of Edom and Moab, they took them down. He set his eyes on Jerusalem. He said, we're going to take Jerusalem down. And in Sennacherib's wake, he had left smoking cities. He had twisted and broken forms of one mighty horses and chariots. He left acres of enemy soldiers that he tied to the ground, where he skinned them alive before they died. Then before they died, he and his men raped those men's children and their wives. Now his soldiers stood poised in the Kidron Valley, ready now to go take Jerusalem and God's people. But being the good king he was, Hezekiah did all he could do to overhaul Jerusalem to try to stop Sennacherib. He built a perimeter wall. He fixed the breaches in the wall. He took water and formed an aqueduct that flowed under that wall to make sure that when they came to seize the city, that they could get it. All the ramparts and all the efforts in the city of Jerusalem he had done. It was Judah's most faithful hour. And the letter comes to Hezekiah from that old wicked Sennacherib. It was a letter of scorn and cruel mockery. The young king of Judah, Hezekiah, he opened that scroll up. He said, let not thy God in whom thou trustest, Hezekiah, deceive thee. Jerusalem is going to be delivered unto us. Behold, thou hast heard of what we have done. Now I'm going to tell you, you better get out of here because we're going to do it to you. Have the gods of the nations delivered them which thy fathers have destroyed? All these other cities, wasn't your fathers in there? We've destroyed them. Now, we've come to your city, Jerusalem, and we're going to take this city and we're going to burn it down. And the Bible then tells us what Hezekiah did. I've told you what he did to secure the wall. But Hezekiah received that letter in his hand. And notice, Hezekiah went to the temple of the Lord. He told him he'd heard what all Sennacherib had done. He was wiping everything out. He was throwing families. So he just said, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to go to the temple. And I'm going to go to the house of the Lord. Because, Lord, you said your name would be here. You said your eyes would be here. You said that your ears would be attentive to this place. So God, I'm here. And he took that letter and he laid it out before God in the temple of God. I will never forget, man, it was 1987. We had just built this new building, this fabulous building that we call our church home. We had just built it. I'll never forget that night we moved in. And then I will never forget that day we dedicated it. And when we began to dedicate it, my dad had asked my grandfather, Popsy Gibson, to pray the prayer of dedication. And my Popsy began to pray. And here's what he prayed over the building that you are sitting in today. He said, oh God of heaven and earth, hear our prayer and supplications that we make unto you. Jesus Christ, almighty God, sanctify this place. Sanctify this congregation. Lord, bless and anoint. Keep the instruments and the Bibles of the people protected. Let nothing be done around here but what is done in your name. Let your name be on everything in this building. Let your name be on our Bibles. Let your name be on our songbooks. Let your name be on this building. Let your fear be around this building. I pray, Lord, that you would keep this in your name, that your name may be preached here. Nothing else preached here but your truth and your name. And the truth shall forever stand. And we pray, Lord, that when that time shall come and that one ruler would shall stand up to rule the world, we pray that you will protect this place, that Michael the great prince will stand up and protect this place, that all the people who will want to worship you can come inside and be safe in this place. We ask this in your name, and we will forever give you the praise for protecting this church. That was prayed in 1987 over this place. And you let me tell you, in 1923, God's name is still here. God's protection is still here. God is still watching over this place. God has your children. God has your family. And the devil can't do anything to you unless God allows it. But it was prayer that did that. I'm trying to wake up everyone. Messiah, I know you've been at it in your cast, but even during practice, I'm praying prayer meeting breaks out, because the thing that moves God is prayer. If this church will get to praying, if you'll sign the 24-hour prayer sheet, if you work somewhere, I've asked this church to come by and sign the prayer sheet. I've asked you. I get on my knees as your bishop. I ask you, just drive by. If you can't come in, come by and wave. Just drive through the driveway. This church has the name here. This church has the blessing here. This church has the glory here. This church has the power here. Claim your promise this morning. Go to it in prayer. I preach to you on save yourself from this untoward generation. Do you let me tell you something? If I had kids, I'd get by this church. He went and he spread that letter out. And he said, O Lord of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, you alone. The king of the earth are yours, Lord. Bow down thine ear and hear us, O Lord. That's what Hezekiah prayed. The kings of Assyrians have destroyed the nations, but the works of thy hands, wood and stone, therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save us out of this hand. All these kingdoms and all the land may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou alone. O God in America, you spare us out of all this junk that's going on and all the messing they're doing with our kids and everything they're going on and trying to promote and all this woke junk that's going on around this country. Wake us up, oh God, that we can become a praying people, that we can shake our nation. We can shake our nation. He said in 2 Kings 19:32 through 34, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into your city. He's not going to shoot one arrow, and there shall not be for it one shield. Cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, that's the way he's going to return. He shall not come into your city, saith the Lord, for I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant's sake. I feel the same way. Thus saith the Lord to you, great people, the devil's come at you one way, he's going to leave another way. He's come to try to destroy your family. He's come to try to destroy your home. He came one way, he's going to leave another way. Because I know how to pray. Because I know how to pray. And if I know how to pray, we can shake the gates of hell. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Not one weapon shall prosper if you know how to pray. Clap to the Lord. Shout with the voice of triumph. He said, but that's not the rest of the story. Not only are they coming in and going out the way they came, he said that night an angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of Syrians. 185,000 of them, 85,000 died that morning. Behold, there were nothing but 185,000 dead corpses. So Sennacherib, the king of Syria, departed and went and returned, and he dwelt in Nineveh. He got out of there. He woke up and 185,000 of his soldiers were dead. He got out of there. That's because Hezekiah knew how to go to the temple, and he knew how to stretch that letter that he had been threatened with before the Lord and say, hey, this isn't my battle, this is yours. I dedicated that baby to God when it was a baby. That baby may not be serving God like I want right now, but I dedicated that baby to you. Now here's my letter. I'm backing up. I'm praying. I'm going to pray it. I'm going to come by the church and pray. I'm going to pray in my bedroom. I'm going to pray in my bedchamber. You're going to answer my prayer? Then I'm backing up and I'm going to ask God to do a sign. And there I am for the fifth time. I know the last six times I preached, but I'm going to say it again. I'm not eternal security, but I'm that close to it. We have preached, you got to work to go to heaven. I don't know where we got that doctrine. I asked Daddy, he said, well, we had to fight back in the 50s and 60s. Nobody believed in us. So we had to fight. And I said, well, Daddy, I'm going to fight the other way. I believe you got to fight and work to go to hell. The grace that he shed on this cross and the blood that he shed in this cross, you let me tell you something. If I run a red light and the rapture takes place, I'm going to make it. if somebody behind me honks at me and I say, "Booey on you. I'm gonna make it." I sing one of the lines of the song. Now, Cam, y'all gonna check this out. That was a new song, so I got used to it. It said something, "If we don't sin, we won't need forgiveness." Well, let me tell you, you'll always need forgiveness because you always sin. Now, we may not be out there with them big moral sins, but every one of us have a little sin in us. Well, you meddling now. Yeah, I'm meddling. You got mad at that red light. You looked over at so-and-so, and they had that new car, and you ain't got yours yet. I'm meddling. They got there, and they prayed. And when they prayed, the king prayed, Hezekiah did not ask a request. He prayed. My mother leaned over me in prayer meeting last night. My mother's a walking Bible. I'm telling you. Happy birthday, mother. But we need you to keep living. She said, "Have you ever read Jeremiah?" I said, "A time or two." She said, "Well, go read Jeremiah 33. And I done forgot the verse. 33 and 3, wasn't it? 33, I got it. 33. I got it. So I went and read it. "Moreover, the word of the Lord," y'all don't have it up there, I don't think. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying," remember, he's down in a dungeon, a prison, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, the Lord that established it, the Lord is his name," then here it comes, "call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." If you will cry out, what I'm preaching on this morning, if you haven't got it yet, I'm preaching on prayer. I ended up preaching on miracles, but I'm preaching on prayer. Because when we pray, it's going to take to the place of the impossible. When we pray, God is going to answer. When we pray, God is going to take care of our situation. And I believe that God, whether he does or whether he doesn't, you ain't getting me, devil. I'm like Gentry. I'm just that other road out of Dothan, but I'm getting out of there. The end is I'm going to heaven. Some of us may go there bruised. Some of us may go there in wheelchairs. Others may go there shouting. But one thing I know, we're going to heaven. Now, I'm not going to preach long because Pastor Gentry, it was amazing. But his last point was on the prophet Elisha, and the situation was impossible. And this is mine today, and I'm done. Elisha's house was surrounded by Syrian soldiers. And with the king's orders, he said, "Get Elisha." The prophet didn't burst into an emotional reaction. Instead, he said to his servant, "Don't be afraid." I think Pastor Gentry nailed this. He didn't, I am. What he did next, the Bible said, he prayed. "Go get Elijah." What did he do? Fight, get excited, have a nervous breakdown. He prayed. What you going to do? We pray. When the devil fights us, we pray. When he tells you you're going to die, we pray. Brian, I know you're up against it. Roger, I know you're up against it. What do? We pray. So Moses didn't panic when he got to the Red Sea. I mean, he done what? Pharaoh behind him, mountains on each side, the Red Sea in front of him. How'd you like that situation? Whoop! It opened. David didn't throw his hands up to surrender when Goliath started charging him. He just said, "No problem here. I don't come to you with sword and shield. I come to you in the name of the Lord." Boop, boop, boop. Daniel. Didn't have a nervous breakdown. Hey, Daniel's been a little defiant. He's still worshiping his God and praying three times a day. "Turn that fire up hotter." "No problem. You just made me intense my prayer life. The hotter that fire gets, the more I'm going to pray." Daniel was thrown in to that den of lions, and the lions couldn't eat him. "Hey, you down there, Dan? Oh, King, live forever. I pray." Here's the reason. The Syrians hated the Jews. Benadad would come up with his plans designed to destroy Israel. But each time he did, God spoke to Elisha, what Pastor preached to us Wednesday night. So the Jewish army would bypass the ambush area and just devastate the Syrians. God was telling God was telling them what to do. He was speaking to them and said, look, they're coming this way. Tell them they're going to come this way. They're going to be down here, Rapids and MacArthur. When you don't go that way. You turn, go down Westwood, go to Henson, turn right, go down Texas, and they'll be waiting on you down at Rapids, but they won't ever see you left. Just the way he talked to them. I'm not telling you to go home that way. God, go home any way you want to. Benadad had a conference with his staff, and he asked, he said, which one of you is telling Israel what's going on? Somebody's leaving our meetings. Somebody's leaving our staff meeting and go and tell Israel what we're doing. Because every time we get to challenging them, they're already gone or they've already won. Benadad said, whatever, go get him and bring that man to me. Benadad hadn't figured out yet the God who could reveal the innermost secrets and thoughts of Elisha could also deliver him from the Syrian army. Those fired up hostile soldiers and Elisha's household surrounded, but Elisha prayed. Behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots, but God who answers prayer sent a platoon, company of troop and trained soldiers to protect his prophet and people. Elijah told the servant, fear not. Look up, two people. They had thousands and they had two people. And he looked over at him and said, hey, couldn't you imagine? I mean, if you didn't know what Elijah knew and you were his servant, can you imagine what he was doing? God have mercy. I've never seen anything like this. People, we're in a day like we've never seen all the junk that's going on in our country. We've never seen. Fear not. For they that be with us, hey, Lige, you're not getting the picture here. It's just me and you. And we're surrounded by all these men. And then it comes, Elisha prayed. And said, Lord, I pray thee, God, if you would too, by the way, open some in POA while I pray this prayer. I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And it was a miraculous, supernatural deliverance of Israel. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you know how to pray, you can make it through any circumstance. If we can get this church praying, we can go through anything. Fervent prayer. So Elijah was a man of like passion. Hezekiah spread his letter out. Elisha was surrounded the mountain by all these different things. And we've had 50 years of unceasing prayer in this place. They sealed it, all the Roman soldiers. He's not coming out of there. Oh, we got him. But others thought, yeah, and I pierced his side and make sure he was good and dead. But what they didn't know, that that's you. You were in there, bam. You came here with situation tied up. Your family, your kids, your job, your situation, the disease, you were all bound up. They thought they had won it, but your third day is here. The revival is here. The resurrection is here. The overcoming is here. The deliverance is here. I'm praying for God to restore your marriage. I'm praying for God to restore your children. If you don't mind, get on your feet and give a shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, help me praise him. They pray. Come on, help me just a minute here. There's something God wants to do. Help me just a minute. Come on, young people. Come on, young couples. I want you to turn and look over this congregation. I know these two side sections are, but look at this crowd this morning, would you? And I'm getting ready to tell you, because this church has been a praying church and you've been praying and we're going to pray. I'm getting ready to tell you, God's getting ready to answer prayers in this place now. Now, if you haven't been baptized, you say, well, I've been baptized before. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name today. Everybody say today. Turn to somebody and say, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name today. If they tell you they have, say, well, you probably need it again. But listen, and I'm done. Y'all can come on out here. I'm done. Listen. Phyllis Van Gessel. I don't know if she's here today. Her daughter's all over this place. Phyllis Van Gessel, when the garden rapist was going wild in the Garden District, Phyllis was at home by herself. They had prayed. Alice, they had prayed. You'll see her there. They're involved here with Messiah. They had prayed. And the garden rapist broke in her home. And I won't go into details, but I called her a year or so ago and asked her to take me through the whole scenario, and she did. And the man had positioned himself to do everything he could to rape her. And she simply prayed, in the name of Jesus, I bind this situation. You would have thought the police walked in the door, because they did. It was Jesus. He was out that door. Just a few days later, they caught him. And she was delivered by the power of prayer and by the power of the name. I want you to turn to your wife or your friend or to a neighbor, and I'd like you to go hand to hand, two to two. Would you do that? Lady to lady, man to man if not, or you can go three if you have to. I want you to look at them, okay? I don't want to circle up right here. I just want them to circle up. And you're going to pray. Okay, let's say it this way. How do we do that? If you're a female, we're going to let you pray first. And I want you to quote what pastor says to the person you're holding their hand. In the name of Jesus, I bind everything that's been coming against you. I take the authority over it. I loose it in this service right now. And from this moment on, you're going to be overcoming that which has been coming against you, and you will have the victory. Men, I want you to shout it. You may be a single man, or you're the priest of that home. I want you to look at her, and I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, through the authority and the power of the name of Jesus, I take authority over that that's been coming against you. I take authority over that that's been binding you. That spirit at work that's been coming against you, I take the authority over that right now, and I speak it in the name of Jesus. Okay, here we go. I think you got a song for us. Would you tell, hold everything. Just, could you tell them what I need you to tell them?
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop.
You're coming out.
You never stop working.
You're coming out.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
You're coming out.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop.
You never stop.
You never stop working. Even when I don't see that you're working. Even when I don't feel that you're working.
Let's gather to the front if we can.
Stop.
Down
you
the aisle.
Stop.
God bless
working.
You. Remember, God answers prayer. Let's pray.
You never stop working.
today. It has been an honor to have you, whether you are a church member online or you're a guest with us today. We have heard a powerful message from Bishop. There is no situation too difficult. There's no circumstance too difficult that God can't deliver you from. Your prayer does reach the throne room of God. And if he can do it for Simon Peter, if he can do it for Hezekiah, if he can do it for Elisha, you better believe he can do it for you. He can heal you, touch you, restore you, bless you. He can do it in the name of Jesus. If you want to know more about Jesus, being filled with his spirit, being baptized in his name, repenting of your sins, please get in touch with us. We would love to pray with you. We would love to talk with you. We'd love to chat with you about the power of the truth, about the power of the gospel. Let God deliver you today in Jesus' name.
What a mighty message. This was from Anthony Mangan from the Pentecostals of Alexandria. Love Talk Mom.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus. This was so anointed, and I just thank you and Wild Bill for everything you're doing, you know, pressing through and being faithful and praying. You know, that's what it takes. And I felt the Spirit of God so strongly. You know, you wouldn't think, you know, at my age, and different miracles that's taken place in my life that I never connected the dots. I knew it was a miracle, but it never dawned on me that the times that I was spared, that it was an angel. Someone would come that I didn't know and step into the situation, but it was an angel. I was just thinking it was someone that was compassionate. You know, I was young, just a child. But I have a history personally of being spared all kinds of things, and I am so thankful and so grateful that, I mean, if our eyes were open, I mean, it wouldn't be just like one or two. I mean, we're surrounded by a host of angels, and not that we do angel worship or, you know, get off into that side of it. That's total error. But God, just he's powerful, and he watches over his children. That is just so beautiful, and I love the way he emphasized water baptism in Jesus' name. If people have not done that, no matter how they justify not doing it, why not do it? I mean, it turned my life completely around. And I wasn't doing it for any big denominational point or anything. I was wanting to obey the word of God. Really was the name, the authority that turned everything around for me and my family. And this was beautiful, very beautiful, very. I was so concerned that I could even stay. My rest has been broken up, and. I thought, Sister Lively, if you had missed this, and I was like, and that is so wonderful. It seemed like any time I think I'm about justified in not taking part in something, but I go ahead, press through, and I think, wow, this is what I was going to miss if I had gone the other way. So we do, like he said, and like y'all have said, we've got to press towards the mark of the calling of God. This was just excellent, over the top excellent. This really did something for me. And I know, you know, you and I and Wild Bill and I don't want to specify in particular, but I will say that this week I was going to the post office, and on the way I asked the Lord to bless my mailbox. And I opened this mailbox. I have a post office box, and wouldn't you know that there was a beautiful colored envelope, and there was my wonderful son and daughter had sent me one of the most beautiful cards I've ever read in my whole life. and a blessing. And I do thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. I'm so blessed. So I'm going to try to be quiet a minute and see if we're all Bill or you have something to say.
Yep, so you can continue.
Well, I have just had the most unusual day, and I know that the Lord, I've noticed so many things that we have, like he said, we've got to make up our mind. You know, you can't do it for me and I can't do it for you. Our prayer time is that personal time with God, and it's, oh, wow. And I do pray, naturally, and I get up and pray, play the piano and things like that to the Lord. But somehow when this message was going across, I realized I'm going to set aside a time to kneel down and absolutely be totally focused on prayer. Right now, there are thing in our world that God is depending on us as his church, his bride, to pray. And then he'll move. But it's our part. And all the way through the Bible, he told us, pray. And he prayed. He was a grand example of going and isolating himself and praying. There's just nothing like it. Of course, there's things that hinder. I have a tendency to want to pray all the time. And that's good. But that's not the same as that closed in with God in that secret place. It was beautiful. Singing to him, worshiping him, dwelling on the first psalm, you know, walking with him, standing with him, sitting with him. And there's a book that walk and stand, every position that we're in. And, you know, it's sort of unusual. Maybe I just don't notice it. But if I get a little bit of a self-righteous spirit, someone was talking about how angry the minister mentioned this. But someone had said they got angry with people that were maybe they were driving and they got too pushing, you know, that behind them they were going too fast or whatever. And that happens to everybody. But I've always been just a little bit judgmental, but I didn't realize it. Because my plan was when someone did that, I would think they may have just found out their baby is sick or their baby's in the hospital. Or maybe if they aren't there in just a few minutes, they're going to lose their job. You know, I really put my mind in that frame, and I would pray for them and pray that, you know, when they got past me that they wouldn't get a ticket and whatever. And lately it seems like nothing gets on my nerves. As bad as somebody getting right behind me. I can't even see their lights, you know. I thought, Lord, if I got that judgmental, so I started teaching her that. I have to say to everybody that's listening, I don't really play. I mean, I do what I do, but you wouldn't call me a P-Nanner player at all. I do love it. She's going to do really well, though. Usually about the time I teach somebody three lessons, they can go ahead and start really, really learning how to play like they want to.
We have Wild Bill.
Wow, okay.
Man, I was having trouble hearing everything there for a minute. It's like all of a sudden you guys just disappeared. I was like, this is fun.
No, I think wrong with Blog Talk Mom's phone.
It's my phone?
Yes, it had cut out.
Oh. I've got a plenty of a charge. But this area right now, I don't know what they're doing, but the Wi-Fi and different things are out. So, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. This message came at a really perfect time for Starla and I. We got a lot of things we've been fleecing God about and praying for, and sometimes I forget of the times where God has actually spoke something to my heart, and then there's other times where it seems like I don't ever get a direct answer. I don't ever get, you know, something that just gets into the situation that seems like what's going on. And so it just, things just seem to run on and run on. And that I just, I think we hear messages like this sometimes, and it excites us in the moment, but then we forget to apply the message. I mean, it ain't just about having so much time to pray, and it's not just about, you know, establishing needs and desires and things like that, but it's about believing that God hears what we say when we pray. When we ask Him for something specific, He hears that prayer when we ask for something specific. When we dedicate our children in prayer for God to keep His angels charge over them and to, you know, bring them back into church and to, you know, be a blessing to them, He hears what we pray. And the Bible lets us know that He knows the plans that He has for us, and He's not going to withhold any good thing from us. Isn't that what it says, Sister Lively?
Absolutely.
And so why do we stress and worry over things that we've given to God? Why is it, not speaking about me, why do I, with all the things I've been taught, I sat under some of the best preaching and teaching that there is in the world. I've been blessed to that God leads us to different messages for this show, like this one tonight. It was not just anointed, it was timely for our situation, and I'm hoping it's timely for other people and what they're going through. But do we really apply the message as it was preached? Do we really believe that God can and He will move on our behalf? Because if we do, then we leave it in His hands. But there are times that I believe that we got to be like the example we were given of the woman with the evil king, and she kept coming to Him with her need, and because she was not going to quit worrying Him to death, she got an answer to what it was she was asking. Now, I don't believe we're going to worry God to death or anything like that. I think it's more about when we do that, it speaks to us and where we are, and in getting in position with God to take Him at His word and allow Him to bless us in the ways that He wants to bless us. I don't think that we're going to go in and tell God that we think He needs to change the weather patterns and that He's going to do this and He's going to do that. He's going to fix our president and all these things. But I do believe that there are things that happen sometimes for reasons because of things that we pray, to where when the people of God got on their face all through the Bible, you saw how God moved. Things changed in their country. Things changed in leadership. But I don't think it was like they prayed, okay, God, we want the Republican Party to win this time, and because they seem to have more of an agenda that goes in alignment with what you want. They prayed, and God answered as He saw fit, to fulfill the things that need to be done. But if we always put ourselves in position of like we know how God needs to do it and how we want Him to do it and the way we think it needs to be done, and it doesn't happen that way, guess what happens? Your faith is going to go south because God's not going to move in that way, hardly ever. There are times, but I think hardly ever is it going to be that you're going to get your answer in the way that you thought you would. And even though I was talking about praying about weather patterns and stuff, I was at a men's conference this week, and they was talking about this one minister that had such a walk of faith and prayer that great and mighty miracles happened in services where he preached and prayed for people. And one time a carload of preachers were traveling to a service, and there was a tornado on the ground heading straight towards the road that they were on. And he told them, said, pull over. And he got out of the car, and he said, tornado, in the name of Jesus, follow my hand. And he moved his hand to the side around to behind their car, and that tornado changed direction and went behind their car. Not that we can go out there and just change things and patterns of storm, but here was a situation, the ministers that were doing God's work in a situation where their life was in danger, and God directed that tornado to go around that thing. And I think sometimes that we get so lost in the little things, you know, I don't believe you can go outside right now and say, Lord, if you're really there, you know, show me a rainbow in the night. Let it be illuminated where I can see it. Or, you know, God, let's have a lightning bolt to go across the sky. But I do believe when you're praying kingdom prayers, where he says it's not his will that any should perish, and you plead the blood and you pray over people in your family that are lost, or you're praying over people in your family where they need direction, I believe with all my heart that when you pray sincere and when you're living right, where you're lifting up holy hands, and we know that our righteousness and our holiness is basically is none, that we get these things from our relationship with God. So we put on his righteousness and we lift up his holy hands because he's blessed our hands to be holy, because we've been saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and we're walking by faith and not by sight. When we get to looking at those things, we can speak, Lord, move on my family member. Lord, keep them safe. Lord, bring them back to the truth of who you are. And I believe if we start saying those things with authority, we're not going to worry God to death. He's like, okay, I'm positioning you here to get ready to receive your miracle. I'm positioning you here to where you're really going to understand that this is me and not you and not circumstances and not something that all of a sudden when they're on a light clicked on and they're coming back to you, but you're trusting in me. You're showing me this because you're continually, you're praying over this over and over and over. You're bringing it up before God, and God is saying, I got this, but keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. When we get in the mindset to do that, I don't believe that there's not anything that God can't and he won't do for those that truly believe him and take him at his word. And I know some of this, like I was being walking back and forth, being double-minded on this while I was talking about how we pray for things. But I want you to understand it's more about where we are in position to God and what he does in answering our prayers. When they went and prayed for the man that was begging alms, they didn't have alms. They said, such as I have. Well, what did they have? They had just had a new experience of being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. They'd been baptized in Jesus' name. They'd been given authority to use that name. And when they used that authority of that name and of the power that was working within them, the person was healed. And when we get to realizing that it's got to be a position of us, the closer we get in line with God, the more we're going to have inside of us that God can use to answer prayers that we're praying. You can't live on the outskirts and get flashover blessings every now and then and expect God to give us few little drops of what you got going on inside to work in other people's lives, because it's not even enough to sustain you. If we lived on as little on food as what we do to the thing of seeking God, asking him what it is that he wants, taking time to listen, like the preacher said last week, we take a lot of time to pray, but do we ever just stop and just wait on him? Listen. Really seeking him to speak. We talk like he's dead or like he's a computer. We're plugging all this stuff in. But this is a relationship. Do we take time to like, okay, Lord, you know, what do you got for me on this? Lord, is there something I'm missing? Is there something I can do to help, you know, put myself in a position where you can use my prayers more effectively than what they are right now? Because that continued prayer thing, it's not going to worry God or stress God or anything at all. It's always about what things do for us. He didn't put the law in effect to be mean to us. He put it in place to be a wall to protect us from the world of sin. He knew that if we lived within the confines of the law, that we would not have to worry about those things to a point. But what he also knew was that it was impossible to live within the confinement of the law because it was so intertwined together, there was no way you were not going to break something of the law at some point or another. Thus, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's not if we fall, it's when we fall that he's faithful to do the things he says he's going to do. So I want to encourage everybody, whatever you're going through right now in your life, real life, not make-believe stuff and not sci-fi things and not futuristic, what you're going on in your life right now, that you pray, you give it to God, And then you let God do his part. And if the answer is no, then you have to accept that the answer is no. And if the answer is yes, then you need to move on that. But I have this crazy thing to where all of a sudden when I sort of get a no answer on things, I try to figure out how to adjust to make things work, even though the things didn't happen that we prayed for. And I was like, Lord, how in the world do I keep ending up out in the wilderness like the children of Israel? Well, that's why. It's because I pray, and then I try to fix it. I don't let God be God. I don't let him go in and show how miraculous and how powerful and how there's not anything that he can't do. Because just because someone says no, it don't mean God can't change a no to a yes. It don't mean that God can't change circumstances to where it's going to work for our good. Because we are promised all things work together for the good of those that are the called according to what? Not our purpose, but his purpose. And that's the big picture of things. We don't want to be the blind man that received his healing. But maybe just a little bit, that man had to be blind and had to be there on the side of the road that day so God could come through and show people that when you pray for blinded eyes, that they can be open. Not just physically, but spiritually. God can open blinded eyes that are spiritually blind. He can take away the binders. He can take away the yokes that bind people. And we just need to be able to believe him for who he says that he is. And we need to take sermons like this and say, okay, Lord, I'm not just going to think about this a little bit. I'm going to ask you, you know, what from this message right here do you want me to gain in my life this day? What is it you want me to do different than what I'm doing right now? What is it I need to pray so that I pray in line with what it is you want me to pray? And then listen and just praise him and worship him. And in that process of praising and worship, listen. Just let him be Lord of Lords and King of Kings and be your Almighty God, because that's who he is. So I hope it didn't come on sounding too preachy here, because this is all directed at me, everything that I said. So if it affects you in any way, then I'm feel blessed of that. But I'll be, you know, transparent here. This message tonight and the things that I said all fit me. And so with that being said, Starla, I'll turn it back over to you and Blog Talk Mom or anybody else that's here listening tonight.
Blog Talk Mom, did you have anything?
Yeah, I didn't know if my phone was still going to be acting up, but I really feel everything that Robbie said, because we pray, you know, we have faith, you know, the Word of God, the study in the Word, it gives us faith, but then there's trust that we have faith, but the faith is that whether we get it the way we ordered it or, you know, actually really wanted it with all of our heart, that doesn't mean we're going to do that, because God is, we trust him that we've prayed. We've studied his word. We're standing up on that rock that just is not sinking sand. And then as we wait on God and we trust him, and trusting him that no weapon formed against us is going to destroy us or overcome us. That doesn't even mean we wouldn't be martyred. It just means that when we're martyred, there's no greater probably blessing that to enter heaven. I mean, we can't see both sides of that, but we're his bride, and he loves us, and he's proven that in every way. And I love this program. I love what God is doing with his people. Churches are breaking into prayer revivals. So I don't know. Am I breaking up on the phone?
No.
It's okay now?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm so glad. This has been, you know, we go through little seasons of different struggles and getting things together. And I just don't even want to even complain to the Lord about it, because people call me with situations that are just, I mean, this life has times, as Wild Bill has brought up many times. And I know that I can talk to you, Sister Starla, and we can pray, and it's amazing how circumstances will begin to turn. It is just amazing. This week when we were discussing things, you made one statement,
And all of, it was like a light. And the Bible says that, that we're light. And so when darkness comes on our friends or our loved ones or our own heart, we can speak light and life. And it works. It's just amazing. So I love this program. I love y'all. I pray that everyone that would be listening tonight would, or whenever the archives, I have people now that are really being more and more interested in the archives, and that way they can listen at a time that is more convenient for them than evening, late evening. And I'll re-listen to it. I've done that. And it's just such a blessing, such a blessing. And I love y'all, and I thank you very much. I look forward to next week at your place.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Mom, and thank you, Wild Bill, for this wonderful message. We pray that our listeners were blessed as we were. And we pray that you have a very blessed week, and we'll see you next week at your place. Good night.